Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for the episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, joined on Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023 by Ben Gorwitz. Ben, you ready to talk about some NFL draft, man?
Yeah, I am. The draft is exciting. A lot of young faces that we're excited to see because you and I are big college football fans, mm-hmm. So ready to see some of the college football stars just kind of transition to that next level and what teams they get picked by, and then to recap it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I always love watching the draft. One of my friends 1 year said that he likes watching the draft because it's basically just like you just get to watch highlights of all the best players, which is pretty true. And honestly, I think it's a little underrated watching the draft on Saturdays. I mean, I know it is on at noon. I mean, I'm not going to sell y'all. I watched the entire draft. I did watch for a little while, though. And I think it's fun to watch on noon because they're just firing off picks like that. And like they're firing off picks so quick, they're like 3 picks behind that they're talking about. I will say this though, Ben, imagine working your entire life to get drafted in the NFL and you get drafted during commercials and skipped over.
Yeah, I think that more of like the fifth and sixth rounds, like later, yeah. not like the second and third. I think the second round picks all still get announced. I like Saturday because they're the guys that maybe weren't as marketed, during the commercials leading to the draft. Like, you know, you turn on NFL Live or ESPN NFL Live, and they're always talking about like Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and this guy in the first round, that guy. But second round guys, third round guys, they're still big college football names, guys that played key roles on college football teams, guys that contributed to, you know, teams like TCU and Michigan making the college football playoffs. So, and Georgia, obviously, it's not like every single player from Georgia goes in the first round. So you still get big names that go after the first round. So you kind of just remember it was like, oh my God, that guy was a stud.
Yeah, no, it is fun to keep watching and whatnot and to see it. But yeah, I think it is more even like the fourth round, they try to talk about everybody, even if they're a couple picks behind. But once it gets to the fifth and sixth, seventh round, it's just a free for all. But we're going to start out, as we always do, guys, with observations, and we'll have some drafts we didn't like. Ben, my first observation, man, Will Levis falling down the board in the draft. Look, I did a lot of research on this. He didn't fall for any, like, thing he said, anything he did. At the end of the day, this is the way Peter King explained it, and I think it makes the most sense. The NFL draft in the first round was all about needs. After the teams that needed a quarterback drafted one, the way they looked at it is Will Levis wasn't good enough to fit their need at quarterback, and they're better off drafting another position. I mean, it was a little – I will say this. I think the draft has changed a little bit due to the fact of, like, information and betting and stuff, and I think that they really tricked everybody with betting because Will Levis was, like, heavily favored to go number 2 overall in the draft, and he fell that far down the board. That's why it's so weird to see him fall down the board, and I think that part of it has changed things. But ultimately – I thought drafting Will Levis, like, I was texting everybody. I was like, I want the Falcons to take Will Levis on the second day. I think as a second round pick, that's a good spot for Will Levis. Cause like we said about Will Levis, Ben, he's a guy that has all the measurables. I mean, he played well his sophomore year or in his first year at Kentucky. His second year, he battled injuries. They didn't necessarily have the NFL offensive caliber players they had. They didn't have the same offensive coordinator. So, I feel like that he was fair to go as a second round pick. And I think he's a great pick as a second round pick because I think he's better than a lot of guys I've seen drafted in the past in the first round.
Yeah, and when we did our mock draft, like I think I had him as my number three quarterback. Out of quarterbacks, and I had him in the first round, but that was just because of all the information that we had heard, right? He was never, if you actually watched him play, he was never a first round talent. He just wasn't. He didn't play that well in his college career. He had moments, everyone has moments, but in reality, he didn't play that well. He was nowhere near the level of Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. And then when you look at just him compared to Anthony Richardson, no one's going to argue that Levis has more upside than Anthony Richardson. You're just not going to get that with Richardson's size, the way he is, which Levis is also a big guy, but he's not Richardson size. And that's why I think teams, if you're going to take a project, if you were scouting the two project quarterbacks between, or three, between Hendon Hooker, Levis, and Richardson, I think almost every team would take Richardson, and the Colts did that. So I think a lot of smokescreen stuff, as you said, with gambling, like in reality, he was never like that good of a, he was never going to be a first round pick. It seems like, I don't know why teams thought or why people were getting sources that said he was going to go number two. He just wasn't that good. And I don't think Anthony Richardson was all that good either. But people think his upside is crazy. People are a lot higher on him than me. I would never have drafted Anthony Richardson where he was drafted because I don't think he's a day one starter. He's currently battling it out with like Sam Ehlinger and who's the other quarterback in Indy?
Minshew.
And Minshew. So maybe he starts day one. Maybe Minshew or Ehlinger does. But I think it's ridiculous to draft Anthony Richardson number four overall. I think he needs a ton of work. We'll see. I've been proven wrong plenty of other times. I just don't see it. I don't think he can contribute right away.
See, the thing is, though, I think why you had to take Richardson at the number four spot is because the Seahawks had already said, basically, if he falls to us, we're going to take him. And, I mean, the Colts definitely needed a quarterback. And at the end of the day, he's definitely the better choice of the two. But I do agree with you. I do think it's a little high for a guy that's a project and could end up potentially being a bust. Ultimately, though, for like you said with Levis, all I can say is I wish I was the guy who was leaking on Reddit that Will Levis was about to go number one overall and taking Bryce Young. I think he solely did that so he could bet all his money on Bryce Young and actually get a decent payout rather than laying the 2,000 odds and lay the 800 instead. But
it was the opposite for Stroud. Stroud went number two overall, which seemed like the most obvious pick from day one in this draft. That it was going to be Bryce Young and CJ Stroud go one and two. Maybe we didn't know the order until a couple weeks before. But it wasn't a shock that Carolina picked Bryce Young. Everyone knew that a couple weeks out. Right, CJ Stroud seemed like he was always going to go number two overall, unless they weren't taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is like. It was like we said, smoke screens. I mean, CJ Stroud was always going to be the second quarterback.
And the guy that was ended up the other co-favorite for number two overall, Tyree Wilson, didn't go until
seven.
Yeah. So he wasn't even close to number two.
Yeah. Tyree Wilson was supposed to go in the top five. Yeah. It was weird. I'm telling you, I think betting's got everything.
In fact, the Texans traded up to get the three pick to pick a different defensive end in Will Anderson.
Yeah, it's definitely is just all smoke screens at the end of the day. And the Texans got the guys that they wanted ultimately. I assume, Ben, we will actually, Ben, let's go ahead with yours because it kind of falls in line with what we're talking about now.
Yeah, so we're going to go through drafts that the teams that drafted well, in our opinion, teams that we didn't necessarily agree with. The Texans don't fit either of those for me. I don't think they had a bad draft. I don't think they had a great one. I think they did a really good job of setting up some building blocks for their future. Now, I think they're still going to be pretty bad. They don't have much receivers for CJ Stroud to throw to. Their defense is still really young. I think the two guys that they got in CJ Stroud and Will Anderson are good picks. I think I like it that they traded up to get both of them, or to get Will Anderson to go with them. I think those are really nice building blocks. I think they're just a couple drafts away, maybe a draft and a couple of free agent guys away from really competing in a division that's just not that good. I don't think they had a bad draft. I don't think they knocked it out of the park, but I think trading up or taking Stroud 2 and trading up to get Will Anderson 3 is setting up a pretty nice future for them. I like what they did.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. You know, they needed a game-wrecking pass rusher. Their defense was absolutely terrible. I think they see Willie Anderson as their next J.J. Watt. I mean, ultimately, they probably got three of the top five players that were even in this draft class. So the fact that you can walk away with two of them is solid. I mean, people forget they acquired all those picks from Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's cool and fun to have a bunch of picks, but at the end of the day, if you see a guy on your board and you want to go out there and get him, go get him. I mean, Ben, we talked about it. We heard it talked about. This was not exactly the deepest draft that there's ever been. I think it made a lot of sense for them to go ahead and step up and get a guy that they know can be a massive impact player for their team this next season. I mean, when you get two basically stars on each side of the football, I don't see how it doesn't already make you better. And they also killed their third round pick too with Tank Dell, who I think is probably one of the best receivers in the entire draft. I thought the Texans did a great job. And I mean, we'll see. I feel like this is one of those trades you got to leave to later judgment on if it was stupid or not, you know, because you could look at it this way. You could look at it as basically they traded up to get their quarterback. You know, you could basically say they traded up to get CJ Stroud and they get Will Anderson. So, I mean, they get their franchise quarterback. And if you look at it as they got a franchise quarterback and a franchise defensive player, what they actually paid to get that is pretty damn cheap. Like, a lot of teams would have to give up a lot more than that. And there's a lot of teams that are good that don't even have players of that caliber.
For sure.
Ben, my last observation was the Falcons draft. I wanted to talk about that.
I was a fan.
Yeah, So with Bijan Robinson, like, it's kind of like, man, should we have really taken a running back that high? I mean, when you run the ball as much as the Falcons do, it does kind of make sense, and it's really tough to hate the pick because I mean, he's arguably the best player in the entire NFL or in the entire draft at his position. I mean, you could argue he's the best player in the entire draft. Period. He's just a running back, but he's not going to go as high. The way I looked at it is, I thought the only player we should have drafted in that position over him was Jalen Carter, and I think that this is the way the Texans looked at it. I mean, not the Texans, the Falcons looked at it. I think they looked at it as that Jalen Carter's a guy who has some character issues, he has some off-the-field issues, and he needs to go to an environment that can help him succeed. They may have thought being as close to Athens and being close to everything in Atlanta and knowing all these UGA people is not the environment he needs to succeed. And there's a lot of distractions in Atlanta, a lot of ways to get in trouble around here. And I think they looked at it as this is just more ways for Jalen Carter to find to get in trouble. And ultimately, they got the best player arguably in the entire draft, so you can't really be mad about it.
The only thing that I would disagree with is we do have Grady Jarrett, who has never done anything wrong, plays hard every snap. I would assume he can probably be a pretty good mentor. Listen, I think the Falcons got the top skill player in this draft. Absolutely. Bottom line, I think getting a great defensive player, I think it can improve your team. I think getting an offensive skill player like Bijan who can affect the game in the run game, in the pass game, whether he's blocking, he's actually a pretty decent pass blocker, and he's got great hands. I think that leads to more wins than a defensive tackle. I think they see more of a value in what Bijan can bring to the team in terms of, if we want to talk like a baseball stat, wars, wins above replacement. Bijan's has got to be higher than a defensive tackle's. There's just no way it's not. I think they see as like Arthur Smith, when he made a name for himself, he was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He had a type of running back in Derrick Henry where you could turn your quarterback around, hand it off any down and distance that you needed to, and rely on him. He has that in Bijan Robinson. I'm not saying he didn't have it in Tyler Algier, but now you have two of those guys. And I get it. Cordero's still there. He's got one more year left on his contract. He's not like a workhorse running back, Patterson. We now have two of them with a coach that likes to run the football and with a quarterback that is very unproven. So I think it fits Arthur Smith's scheme. I think it fits what he wants to do. I get it with the running backs. People are like, don't draft them that high because their value's not there. A lot of them don't make it to a second contract. Listen, if he plays, you can't forecast injuries, right?
Yeah.
So if he plays like when Saquon Barkley's been on the field for the Giants, Saquon's been pretty damn successful for the Giants. Yeah, he got franchise tagged. You can argue the Giants could have paid Saquon and nobody, I don't think a lot of people would be like, that's a bad deal. He's the best player on that offense. I get Daniel Jones can do a lot of things with his leg, didn't turn the ball over that much last year. Saquon's the best talent on that Giants team. He's the reason Daniel Jones is as successful as he was last year, is because he can play off the play action. He can do zone reads with his legs because every defender is going toward Saquon. So, yeah, I think drafting Bijan can help Ridder in a lot, and the Falcons a lot more ways than Jalen Carter can in the short term.
Yeah, I think you make very valid points there, Ben. Also, too, I don't remember if you made this point or not, but I mean, Bijan Robinson's arguably, like, if you think of the most generational talents to ever come out at running back, it's Adrian Peterson, Saquon Barkley, and probably Bijan Robinson. I mean, Leonard Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, Leonard Fournette was picked higher than him, but I'm not going to put Leonard Fournette in their category. That's just disrespectful to them. Other thing, too, just the other way to kind of look at this is with the way
if
the NFL.
If Leonard would have won that Heisman over Mark Ingram, he'd be in that category.
For sure. And the other way, too, that you can look at this with taking Bijan in the first round is now you get 4 years to control his contract. You can extend him for the fifth. Then you could even double franchise him. And then that's 7 years right there. And you're probably done with him at that point. Although I feel like that he probably would sit out but I mean, we're not going to get into that. But I mean, just think about that. That's another good reason to take a running back that high. Ben, any other observations before we get into drafts we didn't like?
When you look through the draft classes, there wasn't a lot of bad drafts, in my opinion. I think a lot of teams there's just so many good players. I get that, it may not have been the most high profile draft, like at the receiver position, people would consider it a little down, but there's a lot of good receivers that played college football within the last couple of years. So when you're looking at the draft classes, like, you're not going to find too many bad grades if I had to give grades out for each team.
Yeah, like when I was looking through them, I mean, there's definitely a couple that stuck out to me as not being great draft classes, but I agree with you. I mean, I think for the most part, like also too, like I was talking to my buddies who are Bengals fans about this. It's a lot easier to draft when your team's already good. You know, like everybody's going to say for the most part for the good teams, like the Bengals, the Bills, the 49ers didn't have any picks, but like the Eagles, like all those teams, like all the pretty much for the most part, you can say all of them had a good draft class because they already have good players. So
less holes to fill.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Ben, should we start with drafts we hate or drafts we like? I say we should start with drafts we hated since there's less.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, I'll let you go first.
I only have two.
Okay.
So the first one's going to be really quick. So I'll do both of mine just right off the bat. I'm going to put the Jets on my list, but I have an asterisk by it because they didn't need that much. Their defense is still pretty young, and most of their offseason up until the draft, I'm not saying they didn't multitask, but they were focused on getting Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
They got Aaron Rodgers. They got the deal done. I don't think they need a ton in the draft, and I don't think they did it. I don't think they got like a high-impact player with their first two picks that's going to make an immediate impact.
Yeah.
So I put the Jets on my list, but I think they had I think the Jets had a great offseason, just not a terrific draft.
I think that is pretty fair. I would probably agree with you on that. My first one is the Cowboys, and
that's mine. I mean, that's my other one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that. We're both on the same. I would have never guessed that. Look, Mazi Smith is not a bad player, but at the same time, I mean, I feel like the Cowboys, if you look at their first round picks, they pretty much have a massive hit rate. And it's because usually the Cowboys don't pick like based off of need. They picked off base player or best player available. Like when they picked Parsons, I believe they needed corners and they needed something else, but they said, screw it. Like the fact this guy's going to be here, same thing with CeeDee Lamb. Like they had Gallup and Cooper and they said, screw it. We're going to take him. Like even when they picked Tyler Smith in the first round, the offensive lineman, like it was the same thing. Like we already have a great offensive lineman, but we're just going to take him because this kid's a stud. And he keeps falling down the board. I thought Dallas should have picked that way. And also Schoonmaker was a complete reach. Like, I mean, there had been a big run on tight ends. They'd already kind of missed it on tight ends. They desperately needed a tight end. I think they're probably better off just waiting around and kind of seeing what happens rather than completely just reaching for Schoonmaker. I thought that was a massive reach. And then But I mean, yeah, I mean, those are basically, I'm not going to get into third, fourth round picks, what I think about those, but I really just thought with those first two picks, I thought that there was a lot more Dallas could have done based off the way they've drafted in the past, and it was a little disappointing for them.
This was easy to put on my did not like list because they needed a tight end, not re-signing Dalton Schultz, and they didn't trade up to get any of the big three or four. My other reasoning was
Also, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but also too, when they picked, I mean, Darnell Washington, Michael Mayer, all those guys were still on the board.
Yeah, both
I mean,
of them.
If they didn't think those guys were worth picking, I mean, when you kind of pick at 26th, I mean, they could have easily traded back, I'm sure. But even regardless, picking, if they picked one of those guys there, we'd probably be sitting there praising them right now.
100%. The other reason was they sat there and watched their biggest rival be the most aggressive team in the entire offseason and on draft night once again, and they did nothing. Talking about the Eagles, obviously.
Yeah. We'll save the Eagles for drafts we like. I think they'll probably be coming up on there. For my other draft class that I didn't like, actually, I'm going to go with the Broncos. And I thought the Broncos did a horrible job, but they didn't address their offensive line, which I think was their biggest need. I mean, obviously, they didn't have a first-round pick, but still, though, they didn't address their offensive line. And I felt like they picked the positions that they didn't need. Like, they didn't need a corner. You already have Patrick Surtain. I forget who's lined up next to him, but they're absolutely stacked at that position. They take a corner. You don't need a wide receiver, and you go out and take Mims from Oklahoma. And I just felt like that, you know, that they didn't – I felt like this team's offensive line was terrible last year when I watched them play, and that's a Russell Wilson and Sean Payton need. And I feel like they just said, screw it. We already have Jerry Jeudy. We already have Tim Patrick. We already have KJ Hamler. I think they even have another receiver too. Like
Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton. How can I forget him? Yeah, exactly. They're already four. Like, why don't we go ahead and pick a fifth wide receiver? Like, what are we doing?
They picked up Jeudy's fifth year as well. The other thing is, like, and I agree with you, I didn't have him on my list, but Russell Wilson, as we've seen, doesn't move as well as he used to. So you do need a better offensive line as he ages.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure they took – I'm pulling up their draft right now. Pretty sure they also drafted a quarterback as well. Nah, they didn't take a quarter. I don't know why I thought they'd take a quarterback. But anyway, the other draft that I didn't like was the Commanders. I mean, I just feel like the Commanders did absolutely nothing. Like, I know they picked players, obviously. I'm not even going to name off who they picked. I don't even need to look it up. But I felt like they needed a quarterback. I wouldn't have hated if they drafted Will Levis or even if they traded back to later on in the draft and took him. Felt like that there was a lot of things they needed, and they just took a corner in the first round, and they already have a pretty solid defense. And then they took a defensive lineman in the second round. You know, like, it's just like, what are you guys doing? The Commanders have been like the definition of mid for like the last like ever since Kirk Cousins left, they've been literally the definition of mid. Don't get me wrong, they had some decent runs. They've literally just been the most mids team in the league. And they didn't even, like, it's like they didn't do anything.
Yeah, they didn't do much impact either.
I mean, you have Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett in your quarterback room. I'm not saying I think Will Levis is better than these guys, but I'm saying throwing.
Well, you
Will
love
Levis
Sam
in,
Howell. I mean,
I
you're
do
a
love
huge
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell fan.
I am, but I think that throwing Will Levis in the quarterback room would have been interesting rather than picking another corner. You know, so. That's just the way I saw it with the Commanders. I felt like, I mean, the Commanders, if there's Commanders fans listening, they're probably like, whoa, what do we do to deserve this? I feel like they're the most, like, untalked about team in all of the NFL.
I can think of Gage Selling as a Commanders fan. I feel like I know others, and I can't think of them right now.
I think that's the only one I've ever met in my entire life. Anyway, though, Ben, let's talk about drafts we did like. I know we both like the Eagles. I mean, Ben.
Yeah, the Eagles were easy. I mean, Jalen Carter and the value that they can get on Nolan Smith is ridiculous. He's not a draftee, but a part of the draft is they got DeAndre Swift for a cup of coffee. They got him for nothing. Bringing in another Philly boy. They brought in Ringo, dropped really far in this draft from Georgia, and he had a really good testing scores at Pro Day and at the Combine. A little shocked by that. You can't hate the strategy of picking Georgia players from defense because everyone has said their last 2 years of defense were the best ever. They have a lot of Alabama players on offense as well now.
Look at the Eagles offense. It's crazy, dude. I mean, the Eagles go to the Super Bowl. Who would have thought? Fletcher Cox, Mississippi State, A.J. Brown, Ole Miss, Devontae Smith. Alabama, Jalen Hurts, Alabama. I mean, the list is all the Georgia boys they've drafted. The list just goes on and on and on. I'm not going to sit here and name them off. I mean, it's crazy, Ben. You drop the best players in the best conference, and your team goes to the Super Bowl. Who would have ever thought that that would work? It was actually hilarious. They put Howie Roseman on the TV after that they had done the trade for Swift, and he was like, look, guys, he's like, I just hope that the Florida Alumni Association doesn't disown me for drafting all these Georgia players. But no, I thought the Eagles –
The real question is, can Swift stay healthy, obviously, which he didn't do a lot in Detroit. And I got to be honest, even if he doesn't, they still have Rashad Penny, who has also gotten injured a lot. Famous Philly, Boston Scott, and they have – don't they have another guy?
Yeah, they got Gainwell.
Gainwell. So it's like, I feel like even if Swift has to miss a couple of games, they're still loaded at the running back position. Obviously, Jalen is like a half a running back himself with his legs and his mobility and his willingness to run. Yeah, I mean, I thought Philly did a tremendous job on draft night once again. I mean, Howie Roseman is tremendous at his job.
Yeah, Howie Roseman does a great job as always. Ben, let's talk about the flip side of things from this trade. I actually did like the Lions draft class once everything came in. At first, I was kind of like, what are they doing when they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs? But I actually like the trade. And I think you hinted at the reason why that I like that so much is because when we look at DeAndre Swift, this guy is always injured. I mean, did you watch Hard Knocks with the Lions?
I watched a couple episodes, yeah.
It kind of looked like Swift was a little checked out and like he wasn't like going hard on drills and he got chirped a little bit with the, and it looked like he had a little bit
him
of
and the ass. Running backs, him and the running backs coach had a little like, yeah, I don't, maybe not the greatest relationship. Yeah.
It looks like he had a little attitude and a little bit of I don't know. It looks like there's a little something there that we're not really as much into. I think the Lions actually ended up having pretty good draft class, but the thing I liked about their draft class the most is they ended up trading back and acquiring more assets as they went, which is the smartest thing you can do. I mean, look at the Eagles. The Eagles, not only did they continuously build playoff teams, but they kept on trading back and acquiring assets as they kept on doing this in these draft classes. And I mean, look, it all paid off. They ended up going all in on Jalen Carter and Swift and just building up a team that was already in A.J. Brown. You know, like they already built up a team that was already a Super Bowl team. So I think that's the way to do it, man. I like their draft class a lot.
My only thing with the Lions is, and I can think of four running backs off the top of my head that I all thought would be unbelievable in Detroit because they play on that fast turf. And all of these running backs like in college were just insanely fast, right? I can think of Reggie Bush. Didn't pan out that well in Detroit. He was probably better on the Saints. Amir Abdullah, I thought was going to be insane as a scat back. I thought that guy was the fastest guy I had ever seen in my life. DeAndre Swift, okay, injuries, maybe doesn't all have to do with performance, but that has to do with it. And now Gibbs. So I'm wondering if, is there something, like they love a certain type of running back. It's not the same GM that's drafted all four guys.
Yeah.
It's not the same head coaches that have been a part of the. I'm just they have a type that they like at running back in drafts, and three of them haven't panned out. And I'm wondering if Gibbs can kind of break that mold because all three of those guys I named in Reggie Bush, Amir Abdullah, and DeAndre Swift are all really good at receiving out of the running back position, and so is Gibbs. Like there's nothing Gibbs showed in college that DeAndre Swift couldn't do or didn't do. Or that Amir Abdullah didn't do, or that Reggie Bush did everything. But like, that's why I'm confused. It's like they have a type, and it's been different leadership, but they have the same type at running back. I'm wondering if Gibbs can kind of break that mold and succeed there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That is a good point you make, Ben. I like the fact you dug deep on that one. Ben, can I guess what I think one of your next teams is?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to start with my favorite, but if you want to guess one of them, yeah.
Did you have the Texans as one of your favorites?
I put the Texans in like their own category. It's just the observation.
Okay. Go ahead. Let's hear your next one.
My favorite draft was the Bengals. I thought the Bengals did a tremendous job. Okay. Like you said, they may not have needed much. I think a lot of their guys that they got, you can plug in and can make an immediate impact. I'm going to start with their first round pick to Miles Murphy. Miles Murphy was the five-star that went to Clemson that didn't perform as well as maybe we thought he would. But when he got in the backfield, he doesn't miss tackles. The Bengals already have a good defensive line. I think he can be an impact player right away because he's going to be a lot of one-on-one coverage, and he is as strong as a bull in the defensive backfield. I like that pick, especially at 28, I think they got him. I thought DJ Turner, the cornerback from Michigan, and Alabama safety Jordan Battle, I think those are great depth pieces. Jordan Battle was like that ball hawking type safety, really good at tackling in open space from Alabama. DJ Turner was a starter for basically like 2.5 years at Michigan. He played a little bit his freshman year. Michigan, he was a part of Michigan's top 10 defense each year that he was a starter there. I think that's a great depth piece. I think they're, let's see, I think third and fourth round picks are guys that can contribute in ways that, like, Charlie Jones was that white receiver that played at Purdue.
Nasty.
That caught every third down from O'Connell that he threw. Yep. He's just a guy that just got open somehow. And I'm not saying he's going to be as good, but he's as reliable as Hunter Renfrow was when Hunter Renfrow played as a rookie for the Raiders. He was the guy on third and short that you just give him a little short route to run, and he would catch everything thrown his way. I think if you put him on the same side as like a Jamar Chase or a T. Higgins, where they attract most of the attention, that's a guy that's a third down piece. You know, maybe he doesn't play a ton, but a third down piece. You know how much I love Chase Brown, the running back from Illinois. He led
Steel.
He led the NCAA in rushing, got him in the fourth round. That's a guy that, again, not going to be their starting running back. But if he's your backup running back in a couple years, that's certainly not a complaint that I'm going to have if I'm a Bengals fan. I think they did a really good job of filling some holes.
Yeah, Ben, it's tough for me to argue against you there on that one. I thought the Bengals did a great draft. I did not have them in my on my list, but I could not disagree. Like you said, I mean, Chase Brown was the steal of the draft, I felt like. For my next team here, I think that I would argue this team had the best draft, but the Eagles draft was too good, so there's no point in arguing against them. But give me the Seahawks, man. Witherspoon.
That's two for me.
Okay, yep. Yeah. Devin Smith, Witherspoon, JSN. You could argue those are the two best picks of the whole first round. I mean, Derek Hall, the Auburn outside linebacker, is also a beast, and Zach Charbonnet. You stack up the backfield with Kenneth Walker. I mean, the Seahawks now are stacked in the receiving core. They're stacked on the defensive side of the ball, and they're stacked in their wide receiver room. Geno Smith is everything he needs and more to be successful here. I think that the Seahawks dumping Russell Wilson might have been the biggest fleece in the history of sports, and the rich just got way richer.
I'll add three things because I like this draft as well. I thought Witherspoon is a very Seattle Seahawk type of pick. Mm-hmm. They've coached up really good corners under Pete Carroll's coaching staffs over the years. He was the definition of a lockdown corner in college football. Derek Hall is very Seattle Seahawk like to me.
Oh yeah,
just a big linebacker that can rush the passer, pretty good against the run, just very physical. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll likes that physical style of defensive players. I think he's very fitting. Again, I think they got an impact player in the fifth or sixth round. I forget where he went. Kenny McIntosh out of Georgia.
Yep.
Kenny McIntosh, I forget the exact stat, but he was the like only player in college football that had a certain amount of receiving yards, a certain amount of rushing yards, a certain amount of catches. Okay. He's a guy that can do special teams as well. Special teams as well, excuse me. You got him that late. That guy's got a ton of experience playing for one of the best programs in college football. He's a two-time national championship winner, and he contributed on both of those teams. You get him that late in the draft. Listen, if he doesn't pan out, you got him in like, let's see, he went pick 237. If he doesn't pan out, then he doesn't pan out. I think he can contribute to a loaded running back room, don't get me wrong, but he's more of a scat back than Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker didn't receive the ball much at Michigan State.
Yep.
And who's the other running back they have?
Charbonnet. They drafted him earlier. Charbonnet.
Again, not a lot of receiving numbers at UCLA. Mm-hmm. I think McIntosh can play a role on a Seattle Seahawks team. They've had Travis Homer for years. I don't know if he's still on the team, but McIntosh can play that role that Homer has been successful at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they absolutely killed it. Seattle knows these players, man. That's why this team's always good and always competitive. All right, guys, we're back in here once again off a quick break. We're going through our favorite picks of the draft. Ben, take us away.
Yeah, my third favorite. I really liked the Steelers draft.
Okay.
I think getting Broderick Jones at 14, offensive tackle from Georgia. And then I think they got Joey Porter Jr. at one, I think the first or second pick of the second round as a, I think he's a first round talent corner out of Penn State. I think those two first picks are guys that can make an immediate impact and will make an immediate impact in Pittsburgh right away. First of all, Broderick Jones. Listen, Kenny Pickett's your franchise quarterback. You have got to protect him better than you did in his rookie year. He's also a mobile guy. I think Broderick Jones has unbelievable tape that he put on at Georgia. I think that's a great pick that the Steelers had. I think he'll mesh in well, start right away. Joey Porter Jr. is a high impact player for Penn State. I like that pick a lot. And then listen, Darnell Washington easily could have gone higher than he went. I wrote it down. He went 93rd in this draft. I understand that he may not be the biggest offensive threat compared to the other tight ends in this draft, like Kincaid and Matthew and Michael Mayer. Yeah,
Yeah,
Michael
Michael
Mayer.
Mayer.
Matthew Mayer is the, I always say Matthew Mayer. That's the basketball player for Illinois now. But Darnell Washington, and this is a cliche, he's like adding another offensive lineman. This dude is a tank at blocking on the offensive line, whether he's lined up at tight end or he's lined up as like the offset offensive tackle position when they do an unbalanced line. They already have Freiermuth, who's an unbelievable receiving tight end, and it's a terrific red zone target. Picture the Steelers in the red zone, and they have Freiermuth and Darnell Washington on the field. That's a lot to cover. That's a lot of size to cover. I like that Darnell Washington pick, even though they already have one of the best tight ends in the league and Pat Freiermuth. Because of those three picks, that's why I like the Steelers draft a lot.
Tough to argue against that. It also helps too for the Steelers that the Dolphins had to forfeit their draft picks, so they basically got two first round picks essentially. But yeah, bringing back Porter absolutely killed it. His dad's also a coach there, so I think that was a good one, Ben. I actually didn't have that one on my list. My last one here, I don't
I
know
didn't
if you'll
realize he
ever.
was a coach there. I knew he was obviously a player there.
Yeah, he's coaching there as well now. My last one, I don't know if you're gonna have the same one as me. Arizona Cardinals, man, got to give it
Didn't
to
have
him.
it.
The Cardinals killed this draft. So the Cardinals traded out of their first round pick with with the Texans. They acquired all those first round picks. They trade back in and take Paris Johnson Jr. But the key here, Ben, of why I like their draft. Well, first of all, I do like B.J. Ojulari, the edge out of LSU. He's a
Yep.
monster. Thought their other picks. I mean, the other picks are not going to write home about too much. I did like the Clayton Tune, the quarterback pick. The other guys, though, were all solid that they picked. But the reason why I like their draft so much is because think about this now. They got time to evaluate where they're at with Kyler Murray. They're probably going to be the worst team in the NFL next year. So they acquire more draft picks, which we talked about is a good thing to do. And on top of that, what else do they have? They have the Golden Wonka ticket with the Texans draft pick. So their draft pick and the Texans pick, they could end up having the one and two picks in next year's draft. Let's say they decide they want Caleb Williams. They could trade off Kyler Murray and the second overall pick because I'm sure somebody will want Quinn Ewers, Drake May, or whoever the number two quarterback is
Marvin
at this point
Harrison
when we
or
talk.
Marvin Harrison Jr. could go that early.
Yeah, or they could just take Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. and instantly have the best offense in the NFL. The options are endless here for what Arizona could do. I think that Arizona is going to suck and probably get their teeth kicked in next year, but they have ultimately rebuilt this franchise when it looks like that they had no direction they were heading in. Everything is looking good out of Arizona. I thought that they get an A++ for that. I mean, getting the Texans draft pick when that you need so much and trading back and you need an offensive tackle desperately, and you got that, arguably the best one in the entire draft. Got to give it to him, man.
Yeah, I actually only have one more. Decided to take one team out. I decided to take the Raiders out. I think they did a good job of filling, like the mayor. I think obviously taking over for Darren Waller, I think is a nice pickup, and getting Tyree Wilson to go along with Maxx Crosby, who's an absolute stud. I took them off my list. The last team that I really, really liked their draft, the New England Patriots. I thought they did an unbelievable job. I think their first couple picks between Christian Gonzalez, who probably was the greatest value pick of the entire draft. This was a guy that people had as the first cornerback off the board. He did not go the first cornerback off the board. A lot of people had him top 10. He went 17. The Patriots allegedly tried to trade up to get him. And then when the team that they thought was going to take him didn't take him, they traded back. And they said, no one else is going to pick him. They got him at 17. I think that's an impact player right away. Cornerback from Oregon. I think he's tremendous. Keon White from Georgia Tech, I thought was another really good pick. Patriots didn't have that. I don't know what their sack numbers were, but obviously Matthew Judon is one of the best pass rushers in the league. Adding guys who have the size that Keon White has is never going to be a complaint for me. This guy can bull rush you. I think that was a good pick. A guy that they got late, and another reason why I think this could be a really good draft for the Patriots. They got Kayshon Boutte.
Yeah.
They got him late. They got him at pick 187. Patriots have not had much luck drafting wide receivers, especially early on. This is a guy who lit up the field at LSU. And then his last year at LSU, he either had some injury problems or off the field issues. I can't remember what happened, but this is a talent that if they can get him on the field, keep him on the field, this guy is an impact player for Mac Jones. And they didn't have a lot of wide receivers make impact plays for Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe. I like that pick a lot, and I'm sure he fell for reasons, whether it's off the field stuff or character issues or just injuries, whatever it was. The value that this guy can have at the pick that he was, I think, is a tremendous pick from the Patriots in a position that's in dire need.
Ben, I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly. And the other thing, too, is, like, I mean, like, BTA was rated the number one receiver in all of college football going into the season last year. The fact that you can draft the guy where he's at, let's say he ends up being a head case and a bust after his little sex party at LSU.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, you used a sixth round pick on a guy that has potential to be the best wide receiver in the whole draft.
But again, you get drafted by the Patriots. It's a no-nonsense team, organization. And you either get it or you don't. You're either going to comply or you won't. I feel like they have always had a good locker room under Bill Belichick. I think they have football players who will take the young guys and say, this is what Bill demands, but that doesn't mean you can't have fun, okay? This isn't like – who was – some football players said he would never play for the Patriots because they don't have fun. It's did Gronk look like he didn't have fun?
You have fun when you win, Ben. That's what the old saying is. It's only fun if you're winning.
Yeah, I think this guy can make an impact in right away because I don't think his competition at wide receiver is very difficult to beat some guys out.
Yeah, the other good pick, too, that I didn't even realize I was looking through the drafts you were talking about him, is they took Amir Speed from Georgia. He went to Georgia.
Georgia,
and
Michigan
transferred.
State.
Yeah, to Michigan State. I mean, the guy was like I'm pretty sure he was like a top 25, like overall, not even just in his position, but overall recruit coming out of high school. I mean, the guy was highly, highly touted recruit, so – another W coming out there for the Patriots. Ben, I don't know about you, man, but I'm fired up for this upcoming NFL season.
Yeah, it should be great. Should be a great NFL season.
Yeah, I'm excited for NFL. I'm excited for college football. Right now, as we sit, guys, it is May. I mean, June's right around the corner, which means it's about time
September.
To start doing some digging for the upcoming season.
Labor Day will come soon.
Yeah, can't come soon enough almost. Ben, anything else you want to talk about, man, before we get up out of here?
Nah, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I've said my piece. Guys, I don't know when we'll talk about football again on this channel, but we will definitely be back at some point here to talk some football. At some point as well, all our conference and previews and whatnot will be coming out. Till then, we'll probably be putting out some basketball content, maybe a little baseball here and there. But as always, we appreciate everyone who tuned in. Ben, it's a pleasure as always.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to everyone soon.